no small stir about that way or concerning that way. Paul again says, and I persecuted that way or the way unto death. 24:14. But this I confess unto thee, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Acts 24:22. When Felix heard these things, having had more perfect, or in a better translation, more accurate knowledge concerning that way. So quite often in the book of Acts, much more than what we would say the word Christian or even disciple is, we're called followers of the way. Now, I wouldn't expect anybody in here to remember what we talked about last week. But we ended last week talking about choices, teaching your children about choices. And there's one thing you do not want to do. You do not want to rear your children in a way where it's either heaven or hell. Or let's make it what I said last Sunday morning for you that were awake in here. Bob Jones University or hell? This week, or last week, I received, which I do every once in a while, one of these invitations to an independent Baptist Christian camp in, I think, Kentucky. The camp, of course, I knew who it was, and I knew I wouldn't send your dog there, let alone one of my children, or your children. But the camp had a list about this long. I would say if the folder was, the brochure was like this, I would say this much of it was taken up with girls' dress. Tim, I can't remember. Did I show it, that one to you? And a big portion of the girls' dress by an independent Baptist camp was saying, girls, this is how you dress, and you may not wear, well, excuse me, you must wear a nightgown to bed. This is not make-believe. This is not your religion. A nightgown to bed, no shorts, and no pajamas. What'd you say, Ralph? Oh, it was on. Now, you can't even lie about that. Now, here's our problem at Lake County Baptist. Some of you don't care anything, and it's obvious you haven't even trained your children to follow the way. By the way, how do I know that? Because their own children won't be able to see what it means to be a Christian by how your children and grandchildren live. By the way, the way means this. People can look at you and say, yep, there's a Christian, by how they live. Not some obscure doctrine. Not that you got a hold of all the mysteries of the faith. You live a certain way. Here's our problem. Somewhere in here, you're going to go back to last Sunday school, and those children that go to those kind of camps and grow up in those kind of homes, I already know what happens to them. Amy, you do too. They choose hell because they grew up around stupidity. Did you hear me? Stupidity. Christianity is, we don't wear pajamas to bed. First of all, you've already heard me say this. What would give any pastor, I'm asking you a question, deadheads. You say I'm being prickly, you better know it. Because it irritates me that this doesn't irritate you. What would give a pastor the right to ask the question about what your daughters wear to bed? Why is he thinking about this? By the way, who's going to go check? No wonder why the redneck fundamentalism has so many perverts in its midst. Did you just hear me? When a male is thinking and talking about that, it's because he's what? Thinking about that. But my point is, friend, I'm going to talk about the way today, but what I want you to grasp is, if you rear your children in your anality, you'll see your kids just, because it becomes a choice, I don't want that. So they reject that and they think they're rejecting Christianity. No, they're rejecting stupid. And some people, I don't know if it's personality. Some people's personality, they like to control things. Did you know that? There's people, if I put them in charge of the microwave, there becomes a God-given way of using the microwave. And guess what that God-given way is? Their way. It's just like, you got to be kidding me. Those kind of people drift into those kind of churches, and they like that kind of control, and they ruin their children. And then you just start looking at the Jack Hiles kind of families. I mean, he's 0 for 4. Did you hear me? 0 for 4. But everything was Vogelin, another one of these crazy nutcases just a little bit farther in Chesterton, having a big mess over there. They had to vote the old man out of the church this week. That's a shocker. Why? Ruining families. Who cares? Now, I'm going to share what I think the Bible teaches. We're going to do it 3 different ways. So you have 4 pages of notes. What you're going to be disappointed in, you only have 1 page of notes in a lot of verses. The first thing we're going to do, and I'm just going to present these things visually. Number one, we're going to talk about looking at this visually. This seems simple, but notice the words. What are the words? Tim, I'm going to have an eraser, please. Sorry. Yeah, let's go grab it. I see in your notes, this seems simple, but background, personality, friends, and ideas tend to skew this. The first thing I want you to understand, and I think I've been teaching this at our school since the day I arrived here, that Christianity is not this. It is not a tightrope where you're about to fall off the edge all the time. If you grow up, by the way, this needs to be put in your notes because I want you to be able to visualize Christianity. There is no place in the Bible where the Bible teaches tightrope Christianity. And how do you know you grew up around it? Because all the preaching is, the world is about to end. My goodness, if you drink Pepsi as opposed to Coke, the world is over. And by the way, when you're in those environments, everybody's like this. You don't enjoy Christianity. By the way, the only person I ever met worse than Hiles was Vogelin. This was the most control freak idiot I've ever been around and ever seen. And I mean, everything is like this. Oh my goodness, you put the flowers in the wrong place. And then your children grow up and they struggle with Christianity. Look at me, because they feel like they're on trial all the time. And they feel like if they do this, the world ends. Because everything is nervous and angular and, well, I'll give you a lot of words. I'm going to give you, you do whatever you want to do with this. You grow up in this kind of environment, narrow, fear of falling off. Can't even write it. How about this one? No allowance for anything different. Otherwise, if you go to one of those Christian colleges, what you're going to find is you're going to find when that Christian college like Hiles, I'm just going to mention names. When they started, they had 12 rules. By the time I got there, they had an encyclopedia of rules. You're like, where does this stuff come from? Why is this stuff important? Why is it important? Everything. Do you understand, folks? I've heard sermons against wire rim glasses. I've heard sermons about how you part your hair. You're in trouble, by the way.
I'm sure I am. That's what I'm going to talk about, because when I was considering Hiles Anderson, I was speaking with one of the
monkeys. The monkeys. Go ahead. By the way, any difference, see, here's the problem with some of you, though. You're going to make fun of this, but your problem is the Knicks problem. And that's going to show up, too. So don't sit back there and feeling real good about yourself. I'm trying to teach what it means to rear your children to follow the way. Yes, In fundamentalism, we're Baptist. By the way, what you don't realize is people visit our church, and if I don't preach on these things, they don't like this kind of place. They go some other place. We had folks join here not too long ago, a year and a half ago, and the woman said to me, the girl, woman, she's a woman, no longer here, she said, this place makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, well, because I actually teach the theology in the Bible, and what she's used to hearing is the list. You just keep hammering, King James Bible, dresses on women, bless God, over and over. And everybody's comfortable because it doesn't mean anything. But by the way, what it does mean is when the kids grow up, do you realize when I went to Hiles Anderson College, there were rules against going to Chuck E. Cheese? Well, they have bad music there. They have bad music every place. Grocery store, pretty much every other place. There was rules against everything. And after a while, you realize, then what am I supposed to do? Well, this is what you're supposed to do, is go to church. That's what your life is. Not Christianity, go to church. Now, so just so I'm just equally ugly to everybody, it's also not whatever. Because as I preach and teach this, I get a lot of folks in Lake County Baptist that their Christian life becomes whatever, whatever. Oh, do you tithe? Whatever. Do you come to church? Whatever. Which is best? They're neither one Christian. Sad to say, I see as much of that. You say, what is whatever? I don't know how to put a diagram. I think the diagram is this. Here's your Christianity. So what does your Christianity mean? Do you drink? Well, whatever. Do you support missions? Whatever. Do you show up at church? Whatever. That's another form of Christianity, of teaching. And oh, by the way, what I have forgotten to tell you is you don't have to have a verse for either one of these. Neither one of these are about the Bible. Most of these have more to do with personality. Some people are whatever people, some people are control people, and neither one of those have anything to do with Christianity. Neither one of them, by the way, you can't transfer these to your children because you don't have anything to transfer. The one thing is your control stuff, and the other thing is whatever. And by the way, have you watched fundamentalism in the last 40 years like I have? We exactly have two movements within fundamentalism. More and more of control, or more and more whatever. Just to be sane is very difficult. Because it's a lot easier, whatever. Do you go to the gambling boats? Whatever. Jesus doesn't tell me I can't gamble. I've heard people say this. And may I say this? Jesus didn't say anything about gambling that I know of. He didn't have to. He taught you to work for a living, which is the opposite of gambling for a living. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Well, this group, I don't know how to say it, but this group here has no boundaries. This group has a deep fear of right and wrong, and I'm just going to abbreviate. They don't like people telling them what to do. I remember somebody getting so mad at me. This is 10, 12 years ago. I said, folks, we have a missions conference once a year. You need to be at missions conference. And it was like, and they actually told me, I don't like you telling me what to do. We have one conference a year and a ladies' conference for one day, and you can't be at missions conference when everybody already knows the missions conference is the third week of July? Boy, that's just too much, because their Christian life is whatever. I got television programs to watch. I got stuff to do. In your notes. So those are the first. You all understand. And by the way, what you're going to find is, this is what you're going to find in the Christian life. You're going to find people that are this. You're probably going to find more that are whatever. What I have seen in this church is more the whatever, and the people that leave this church. They start finding me restrictive when I don't think it's a good idea that they get drunk, that when their children turn 18, they get drunk with their children. They just don't get that kind of thing. They think that I'm just a legalist. A legalist? So let me give you a couple of other thoughts, and then we'll go down to the what I consider a biblical, just a visual of this. It's not just against the wrong way. Now, some people are just oriented that way too. Folks, growing up with your children and everything is negative and everything is what you can't do, is that a good thing, how to live? Aren't there a lot of good things to do? Let me ask you, when's the last time you went down to the lakefront here in Waukegan when it's warm? It's going to be warm this week. Got yourself a sub sandwich with you and your spouse and your kids, if you have them at home, and just sit out and talk and sit out in the sun and eat a sub sandwich. Is it okay to do stuff like that? It's also not just my way, so I'm not really interested in that. I say in your notes, it's the way, the biblical way, the Christian way. And I'm going to give you some ideas. We're going to talk about these in different settings. Here's the visual you can put on the front of your notes, right here. Does that look familiar for you that drive? Have you ever been on a road where it didn't work this way, like in England? And all of a sudden you come up to that roundabout, you know, and you know you've been driving for a week or two now, and you intuitively look to the left to see if you can go, which means you're intuitively looking the wrong direction because you need to look at the right, and you're so used to do. But this is called, I know this is shocking, folks, this word, hadas, means road, means way, it means path. That's Christianity. There's like a road here. You follow a certain path. And some of you are going to be bored when I tell you what I think you need to teach your kids, about three things. I'm going to give you a little few more ideas here. Let me see. Do I do it on the next page or this page? Yes. I'm going to give you this first of all. You notice this is here. So if you have a path, you can put anything you want to down. You have both boundaries, but you also have this concept of, you know, direction. We're going someplace. You know, we're actually going someplace. Christianity is not about being sitting around. It's we're going someplace. There's some boundaries here. Most of you have never driven in the Philippines, I'm assuming, except Pachungay. You have to be totally insane in the Philippines to drive.
What did you just say about Pachungay?
That was my point. I mean, you know, there, if you want to take a left, if there's two lanes, they make the two lanes into, well, first of all, they'll drive on the sidewalk. Sometimes there'll be two vehicles on the sidewalk if it's wide enough. This here will be two or three or four lanes. And if you want to go right, you always do this. You pull in front of everybody else to take a right. By the way, does it make you afraid? Yeah, it scares me to death. I'm looking, I'm going to get killed. Because you kind of, you know, the road means your children grow up in an environment where, you know, this stuff just makes sense. There's this path. It gives me safety. It gives me those boundaries. I know where I'm going. It kind of makes sense. I'm not, my pencil's in the wrong place on the desk. Teacher's going to get angry. Really? Or whatever. What time you want to go to bed? 4 a.m. No problem. I know you're only 6, but who cares? By the way, it's hard to rear your children when your middle name is whatever. Next page. This is what it does. When you think about this visually, and I want you to get the three visuals, because to me, if you get the visuals, Christianity starts making sense. If you follow your personality in this room, probably 90% of people more tend to the whatever. And there's about 10% of people tend to, they like to control things. Do you know who you are? And neither one of them have anything to do with Christianity. They have something to do with your personality. Christianity is about a path. You don't want to have your children depart from the faith because you have to eat supper at 5:55. And you get in a fight with your adult children over 5:55. Who cares? I'm looking around this room. Most of us could skip several suppers. Okay. I could skip several weeks of suppers. In your notes. What does this do for us? This is what it does for a child. First of all, it gives you boundaries or parameters. I've really already said that. I've already said both of these. It gives you boundaries and parameters. You know, there's some boundaries here. They're not so tight, but But yet there's boundaries. It also gives you direction. Next in your notes. Those boundaries, by the way, kind of make you feel comfortable. When you're driving down the road and you have proper boundaries, you feel comfortable. Jenny and I were someplace. Where were we at? And, let me think. We were coming home Friday night from Tiffany and John's. And, a vehicle came into my lane, and it was a big vehicle. Doesn't make you feel comfortable because, you know, you like those boundaries. Boundaries for children where children kind of know. It's not this stuff. Oh, Daddy, I'm going to fall off. No, it's just there's a certain comfort. I kind of stay within the boundaries, and it's very comfortable. It protects you. And, of course, direction is just as important. The way is talking. You know, if you have a way, that means you're going someplace. Christianity is not lazy and deadheaded. It's going someplace. Next. It also gives you freedom within the boundaries. Now, in this room, I'm looking around. Noel, you have a little thing? A little thing? Josh, we don't want to talk about whatever you have. Ade, you got something going on too? Are you trying to grow his weird beard? It didn't grow. And Linda is very thankful it didn't grow. Dave has something. By the way, beard good, bad, or indifferent? Well, see, some of you are whatever people. Everything's indifferent to you. I'm going to keep coming back to you because 90% of this church is a whatever person. I agree that it doesn't make any difference. The only time a beard or a mustache would make a difference would be when. Somebody do this. Raise your hand and tell me when it would make a difference. Yeah, when would it make a difference? Well, of course. Does your wife not like them, Ralph? Ha 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 ha. Therefore, we know something. We know who rules the roost around there. By the way, here, let's make it a little simpler. I don't care. By the way, do you like it? Let's make it simpler, folks. The only time you wouldn't wear certain hairdos or certain beards is what? If it identifies you with something you're not. If it identifies you with something that's not Christian, then it would be inappropriate. But you do realize if you go to certain churches, this still hangs over in the good fundamentalism, Bob Jones and Maranatha. They're still debating whether the guys can have the little goatees. And I'm thinking, this is not the 60s. The hippies have been gone for a long time. Now, I don't care if they have it at Maranatha or Bob Jones or not, but sometimes I'm like, we're still talking about stuff from the 60s? And the answer is, yeah. I heard sermons when I was in Bible college in the 80s about hippies. Hippies were gone in the 60s, early 70s. So it gives us freedom within boundaries. And that's a good thing, folks. It's good to allow your children freedom so they don't grow up feeling like the world's going to end. But it has boundaries too in your notes. So it gives us boundaries, parameters. It gives us direction. It gives us freedom within the boundaries. Francis Schaeffer called this form and freedom. And that was his big thing. Boy, I learned this from him. Form and freedom. There's lots of freedom in here, but there is absolute form. God gives us the parameters. He gives us the freedom within. Once you learn that concept, you know. By the way, this applies to teaching. This applies to life. You teach a class, here's the parameters. You lay out the, if you try to teach narrowly, kids are upset every day. If you do whatever, you set down the parameters and you give them freedom within that. You're happy, they're happy because they're allowed to be humans. By the way, this is what I've been preaching and teaching since I've been in this church. I realize it's hard to get because of personalities. If your personality is a whatever personality, you're going to have a hard time drawing any line anytime. If your personality is a tightrope, you know, there's a God-given way to use the microwave, which is my way. You're going to have a hard time just relaxing when Emily doesn't use the microwave the way I think she should. Okay, let's continue. Obviously, the next statement is truth. Since this is a path, it's a road, it's a way, there are dangers to both what? Left and right. And you know you got Christianity down, friend, if you understand there's danger on both sides. If you're in a redneck fundamentalism, look at me. There is no danger to the right. You can never be conservative enough. If you're in a whatever background, there's no danger to the left. It's always whatever, just don't want to be a legalist. The Bible doesn't give you that option on either side. The Bible lays out a path. There's dangers to the right. There's dangers to the left. And as a Christian, your children need to grow up understanding. You can be too much of something. You can be too little of something. That's how you know you got the biblical balance and you're not following your personality. How do I know this? Well, I give you a handful of verses. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you. For to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. Nightgowns as opposed to pajamas. I'd be real interested in what Bible verse you squeeze that one from. Neither shall you what? What? Jesus doesn't talk about gay marriage. Does he need to? I think the Bible talks about it in other places. Deuteronomy 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Joshua 1:7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Proverbs 4:27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. 2 Corinthians 6:7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Revelation 22 talks about adding into these things, and it talks about taking away, and both of them are an abomination. In your notes, you avoid both legalism and whatever term you want to use, libertinism. Please hear me, friend. Can I borrow Tim and Dada? Can I borrow both of you guys for a moment? Here's how you know you're teaching your children or teaching a Sunday school class biblically. Grab both arms. There is tension. And look at me. There is danger to both sides. And as a Christian, you're going to have to stay within the parameters. But here's the problem. If you're a control person, there's no danger over here. You'll hear a 500 sermons about those liberals. And a liberal's everybody but you. If you're a compromiser, You never hear about compromise. You go on their websites and they have 500 sermons about legalism. Thank you. I do weird things. I actually go on churches' websites to see what the pastor is preaching. You go to any compromise church in this area where they have the sermons on the web. If it's a compromise church, meaning you can drink, you can do anything as long as your hot body's in a seat, they have sermons against legalism. If you go to a redneck church, they have sermons about everybody. Everybody's a liberal. It's like, whatever happened to Christianity? Here's the path, folks. Walk you in it. Don't turn to this side. Don't turn to that side. And you're going to realize personality is going to drag you one way or the other. Now, should I go around the room and ask you your personality? Your personality is not Christianity. Christianity is the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's what you teach. Now, I'm going to boil this down into three phrases. Here's where I think we start with children. Boy, this is boring. We're going to go verbally. So I've shown you visually. See the visual? It's a road, parameters, direction, safety. You don't want to get off in the right-hand ditch or the left-hand ditch. You want to stay in the road. But it's not a tightrope where you're... Have you ever watched people drive like... Have you ever driven behind the two-handers? And I've seen, and I'm like, oh, I got to get around this person because they're going to scare me to death. But then you watch the person, they're texting on their phone. No, they're texting on their phone and putting on makeup and eating a donut. So what am I looking at? You ready? We're just going to talk about three phrases. Are you ready, folks? Here you go. Number three phrases. God matters most. You say, what does all this mean? Right here. Teaching kids about not girls about not wearing a nightgown to bed probably won't teach them much about God, do you think? It'll teach them that Christianity is about some rules that you have no idea where they came from. You have no idea why they're here, other than my Christianity is. I remember a pastor saying, my first grade teacher was the old line Pentecostal. You don't hardly see them anymore. She wore hair in a bun. And he said to her, my old pastor in home in Southern Illinois, he talked to the woman. He tried to find out if she was saved. And he said to me these almost exact words, her Christianity is her hair. That's her Christianity, that bun. But that isn't much about God, is it? Here's what you want to teach your children. It's this hard. God matters most. How do you teach your children that way? Guess what you're doing? Walking down a path. What matters most to you? Or is it, whatever? No, it's you walk down a path and God matters most to you and matters most to your children. Next. This obviously sounds obvious. Other people matter. Do other people matter in your life? By the way, you're a rule person, other people don't matter, it's just your rules. If you're a whatever person, other people don't matter, it's just you. We still aren't back to, do people really make a difference in your life? America is a culture collapsing because the only thing as important is this person. If you're whatever, it's your opinion. If you're a tightrope walker, it's your opinion. People don't matter. I want children to grow up, and I want your children to grow up thinking people matter. People are important. What you think about people are important. How you treat people are important. How you speak to people are important. Other people matter. Watch little kids that have been grown up either in the tightrope or the whatever. They come to school and nobody matters but them. They haven't been taught that other people matter. Now, there's kids in this room that other people matter. And this is hard because children's personalities are not always the same. I mean, Ade, you have two lovely children. One of them gets this intuitively, right? Junior. Poochie lip? A little slower. Why? Personality. By the way, you're around Junior. He's so nice, he makes me angry. Like, why is anybody that nice? And he's nice to Poochie lip. That's the part I don't get. Next. By the way, I'm giving you these three statements. In a little bit, something's going to click in your brain. These three statements don't come from the sky. God matters most, other people matter, and other people's, and I'm going to use a big English word. Are you all ready for this word? Other people's stuff matters also. Do you think other people's stuff? By the way, I really believe this is where you begin. The way you live. By the way, how do you know other people's stuff matters? My mother's here. You can ask her. When I grew up as a kid, you never went into mom and dad's bedroom. That was their, let's use the Greek word. That was their stuff. They didn't come into my place. That was my stuff. This is taught intuitively. Control freaks that are talking to their children about the kind of nylons they wear or don't wear, there's the violation of space, of rights. Other people's stuff matters also. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where would I get these three concepts from? I don't want the Bible. There's a much more specific place. Yeah, that's where you learn it, but where would I get it from in the Bible? Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Do you know what they teach? The first four teach that God matters. The next six, other people matter and other people's. Boy, I know you want to teach your children the deeper truths of dispensationalism. But if they walk down a path and they don't get the path, they don't end up being much of a Christian, though they know the mysteries of 666. Ooh, did you know? Who cares? I'm much more interested in John and Amy and their children. Amy, their children. I'm gonna get some flack from that one. Sorry. You're trying to borrow a child? Is that what you said? All right, let's look in your notes, please. Now we're going to look at this textually. Pastor Koch, I'm going to let you read so I can take a drink of water.
Were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. Exodus 32:16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. Exodus 32:19, and it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand. 34:1, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. Exodus 34:4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. 34:28, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them.
All right, we're going to read the other ones too. Noel's going to read those. But before we do that, there is a little bit of controversy, so I'll just tell you so you know ahead of time. There are those, and normally the way you normally would see these presented is kind of like this. You have four and you have six. Two tables. Now that one verse seems to indicate they're written on the front and the back. And some people think what you actually have is, and it really makes no difference because it ends up being the same, is you have a table written on the front and the back, four on the front, six on the back, and you have a duplicate copy. One copy goes into the Ark of the Covenant. One copy was for public use. Does it make a difference? No. But here's what the bottom line is. Do you realize that it says in some way God wrote these with his own finger? And yet Christians today, if you're a whatever person, it's all grace. It's all what? So we now have people that used to be deacons in this church whose children lived together before marriage in their house for decades. And they, but it's all about grace. Somewhere along the line, if you're going to have children that people can look at and say, well, there's a Christian, they have to be somebody that lives a certain way. God matters most. Other people matter. Other people's stuff matters also. Where do we get this from? When Jesus says these are important, I think we ought to think they're important. So, Noel, you start reading there, brother. You know what? I like you, Noel, but you're not going to read because we don't have time to read those. Look down at the bottom, please. Not in the bottom, the middle. Mark chapter 12. I said it seems to me that it's best to keep things simple. Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, it's Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Shema. Shema, Yisrael. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. By the way, nightgowns on girls talk nothing about honoring and loving God or a relationship. It's all foolishness. But unfortunately, it's easier to get people to do that than it is to get them to love God. You say, what's this thing here? Well, we can look at this one of two ways. We can either call this the first commandment, and this one is the second commandment. Or if you think they were written on half on one and four on one side and six on the other, you can just say on both sides. But what you get is a summarizing. Jesus is teaching you that, look at me. I know. I mean, I'm around Christians. Again, I've already said it. In Lake County Baptist, probably because of me, I have too much whatever. On the other hand, you always have, because of personality, a group of people that they think their children are rebelling against God because they grow a mustache. That's the end of the world. I knew a person who went to First Baptist of Hammond when the daughter, godly Christian pastor's wife, said occasionally she wears pants. Her parents thought she had departed from the faith. Wow. So you just get both sides. I don't know why. In your notes. By the way, the second, verse 31 says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Well, those come directly from the Old Testament. So if you look, we have two tables. I'm going to go back and forth. And by the way, these aren't rocket science, for friends. The first table tells us to love God. The second table tells you to love your neighbor, specifically as yourself. In Pastor Warren's simple vernacular, that little Jack, I don't know about Carter. When his name gets officially changed to Reagan, he'll be able to understand this. That God matters most. Or other people matter, and other people's stuff matters. Those are the Ten Commandments, friend. The first four commandments deal with how we love God. And it says in Deuteronomy 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Next page. Verse 7 says, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I mean, you have those four. However you parse them, this is how you love God. Jesus summarizes everything. He says, this is how you love God. You don't love God by loving God. You love God by keeping His commandments. If you love me, and that should be a path. Everybody should know, you don't use God's name in vain. You remember not the Sabbath for a Christian, but the Lord's Day. There's things about your life where God matters most. On the other hand, the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Other people matter and other people's stuff matters. Honor thy what? How do you teach your children to honor thy father and thy mother? It's funny, my mother said something yesterday off the cuff. She says, none of my children ever backtalk me except one time my older brother backtalked. He didn't know my dad wasn't at work yet. Did you hear what I said? One time. How do you teach your handsome sons, which they already do, by the way, to honor her, how you treat her? Some of this isn't rocket science, friend. You can't dishonor people. This is the basic, by the way, this is the basic stuff of Christianity. I've been thinking, how do I teach a church how to teach their children? First of all, most people do whatever. They don't teach kids anything. And then are they teach things that are, like, what are you doing? Folks, there's the path here. There's a great commandment. There's a second greatest commandment. Love God. Love one another, another as you love yourself. There is God matters most. Other people matter. Other people's stuff matters. If you left your purse in the auditorium, ladies, I would not go through it. It would be all that I could do to pick it up. Not because the purse makes me nervous. It's not my... That simple. In your notes. Let's look at the next page. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Why? It's not your stuff. Thou shalt not steal. Why? It's not your stuff. Not bear false witness. Why? Other people matter. Thou shalt not cover. Why? Other people matter. You have all these verses. Therefore, all things, by the way, this is not a bad verse for a little child to learn early on. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, especially towards humans. Over and over, this great commandment is taught. The Lord's Prayer also brings this down, and I should have put it on two sides, because it starts with God, our and then thy, and then it goes to we and us, and then it goes back to thy. I think I will reorganize this Everyone look at me. You need to learn three things today. Christianity presented visually is a path. You need to walk that path, and your children need to walk that path. Not a tightrope. It's not about your personal opinions. It's not whatever. It's a path. Parameters are absolute. Dangers on the right and on the left. What else? God matters most. Other people that I meet on the path matter also. Other people's stuff matters. How do I know this? Four commandments, 10 commandments. The greatest commandment, the second greatest commandment. That is the way. Now here's what you do. Go teach this to your children. And more importantly, live it. And they'll notice this is what Christianity is. It's not about where you put your pencil on the desk. Christianity is about a path that Christians have been following for a long time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Seal it to our hearts, I ask, in Christ's name.